Hey everyone, welcome to But Why Those Review Show. We do review shows now. Welcome to our YouTube channel. Or if you're listening to this on audio, thank you for subscribing or at least stumbling upon us on Spotify. I'm Kate. I'm editor-in-chief of But Why Though, as well as the co-founder and the head of the TV film stuff. And I'm here with Sinia.
Hi, I'm Sinia. I like to write and read a lot, and I'm here to talk about exciting things.
Sinia is one of our contributing writers over here, But Why Though, and they are covering Heartstopper for us. I just so happened to watch it and fall in love. So we're going to talk about it today. And the first piece of this is, why did you want to watch Heartstopper?
Okay. So this is, Alice Osman, their writing is like, something so near and dear to my heart. And so I came upon Alice Osman's writing because one of my best friends is Ace, and we were looking for books for them to read that was like written by like an Ace author. And I didn't actually know a lot of like authors off the top of my head. So I went on Google and I found like Radio Silence and Loveless, I believe it was called, by Alice. And then like those are books, and then apparently they wrote like Heartstopper, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is, I'll read that. And then I read like all three graphic novels, because I think it's only published up to three or four, and then it's on the webtoons, and I read it and immediately fell in love with like everything about it. Like it's just so good. It's a personal favorite. So when I heard they were getting an adaptation from Netflix, I was just stoked. I was like, oh my God, my faves are going to be on screen. Like, how is it going to be? Like, I hope it's like everything I want. And we could talk more about that when we get into it.
And for me, one of my good friends, he has been telling me about how much he loves Heartstopper and how much he, like, I should read Heartstopper. And I love Tapas, which is where the webcomic is on. I don't know if it's on like web, like quote unquote webtoon, like the actual, like, it's weird because like webtoons are a thing, but then webtoon is a platform. Mm-hmm. But I know it's on Tapas, and it's in my to read, but it's been in my to read pile for a long time. Because I'm going to be honest, I haven't wanted to watch wholesome stuff. I'm like, no, I'm like in a deep smut period. I need to only read that. So it's been just kind of hovering there. And then I saw the production stills, and I saw that it was coming out in live action. I was like, oh, okay. I'm into this. Give me wholesome. Give me a wholesome show. And I just went into it pretty blind, but pretty excited, because my friend was he's been waiting for this. And so I was like, okay, I'll sit down and watch. And then I watched episode one and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I need to binge the rest. So if you are not familiar with Heartstopper, this is the synopsis from Netflix itself. Boy meets boy, boy becomes friends, boys fall in love. When gentle Charlie and rugby-loving Nick meet at secondary school, they quickly discover that their unlikely friendship is blossoming into an unexpected romance. Charlie, Nick, and their circle of friends must navigate the ever-relatable journey of self-discovery and acceptance, supporting each other as they learn to find their most authentic selves. I'll let you take it away for your kind of first impressions of watching the series and kind of how that synopsis fits into what happens in the rest of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a great synopsis, because on the surface, Heartstopper seems like a very simple like story of like, oh, two boys falling in love. But because it's like queer, there's like so many different aspects, from like friendships to self-discovery to identity to like being comfortable with your parents, being comfortable with your friends, like existing within peer groups and like socialization, that is just, I feel like watching the show, like I think the graphic novel, Alice already took a lot of care with how they wrote everything, but seeing Netflix adapt it and put so much depth and like warmth to these characters and their lives and their friends and their environments was really like stunning to see, because Alice's art is very like cutesy, it's very warm, it's very bubbly, but it's not like super detailed. And I think like that's how like the cutesy kind of like seeps from the page, where you read it and you're like, oh, this is just adorable, it's just so good. And even though there are a lot of heavy topics, it always feels safe. And I think Netflix and Yura Lins and Alice with all of, and like everyone on set, I think they just did a great job making it feel safe for viewers too. I don't know if that's like a vibe you got from it.
No, I think that's a really big vibe. I think that like one of the things that I always worry about when web comics, anything that has the ability to showcase internal tension or like any sort of internal monologue or internal feelings in a visual way, I always get worried about how that's going to translate to those quiet moments. And the way that the series uses animation to get that warmth and that safety that you see as the characters start to realize that they have feelings for each other, or even like those awkward moments where it's like, oh gosh, we brushed hands, there's electricity coming from it, do I want to touch? Like those little things, I think it kind of lets you settle into the space where it's comfortable, because you don't feel like you're just watching the characters. You feel like you're feeling what they're feeling too, and doing it in a visual way that I think is really beautiful and really loving. And I think you're exactly right. I think that there is safety in the way that it approaches really serious topics and topics that are sometimes hard to approach, or at least to do so in a way that is accessible to all audiences, right? Because like we're grown women, we're not teens anymore. So like some of our hardships makes it easier for us to digest some of the really tough stuff and see that like very overt. And Heartstopper, I think, does a great way of not hiding it. Like there's serious bullying. There's a lot of trying to like going to Google to find out like, oh gosh, am I actually bi? Am I like, what is happening here?
I'm exactly. Not straight a thing. Yeah. I remember those days.
And it does it in a relatable way. It does it in a way that like, somebody who is a teen, somebody who is a young adult, or even somebody who's an adult just trying to like figure out stuff and may not have dealt with that part of themselves yet, I think it does it in a way that is just, you said it, like warm and accessible and safe for you to see it. And I think that that is also because outside of the antagonist of the series, like the bully, there is a strong friend group and safety net. And I think that that is extremely important, because I think a lot of the times when we do get these stories, it's usually one queer character doing this all alone and having to deal with pain consistently and having to experience it in a way that it handles the scary stigma that really exists and how some people can be alone in it. But there's, I think what Heartstopper does is Heartstopper shows that there can also be a path of understanding. And mm-hmm. if you have the right people around you, like it doesn't matter, like they love you and they will help you.
Yeah. I love the removal of shame from everything, that there's that like the internal drama and turmoil and angst of like self-identity and discovery is rooted in understanding with their like supportive friend group. Because like I think about Glee a lot, because when I was at high school, that's like what I had, like as a queer kid, it was Glee. I really didn't have a lot of other things. I watched RuPaul's Drag Race sometimes if it came on. I watched a lot of like movies from like John Waters and stuff like that, but it was really like in a teenage setting, I felt like all I had was Glee. And with their characters, there was a lot of bullying and shame that was like in that show, for as progressive as it was, because like a lot of those kids weren't really friends until like later on. So like when you like seeing Heartstopper, it's such a like 180 for me, where I'm like, wow, I like never thought I'd be able to see a show like this now that I'm an adult.
There's a supportive friend group. Oh my God.
It feels so like wild. It makes me literally so happy that it's like, oh, we've come such a far way in the way that we're like expressing these stories. I feel nothing but like happiness. It makes me really happy that people are going to like watch this. And if they are an adult or a kid or a teenager, they're going to be able to talk about these like conversations in ways that are very productive and not like, and not feel like, I don't know, like hopefully judged.
Yeah, it kind of gives you the vocabulary to understand things. I think one of the beautiful things that it does as well is juxtaposing Charlie's relationship with the first boy, quote unquote boyfriend. Yeah. Right? That he doesn't deserve that term, but the first boyfriend against Charlie and Nick, because it's a similar circumstance in that they are not out. Their relationship is not out to everybody, but the motivation and the intent behind it is very different. And I actually think that what Heartstopper does is it contextualizes those moments. Like, hey, there is a difference between not being out because you're ashamed and because you're just messing with somebody's feelings, and a difference between, hey, I'm not out yet. I'm going to be open with you and talk to you about this process. Mm-hmm. And we can get there together. And I think that like those are completely two different paths that I think is important for young viewers, right? Because when you're a kid, when you're a teen, you don't know what is normal. You don't know what is acceptable. And if you're consistently taught, oh, this is just how it is, you're going to accept people mistreating you. And what Heartstopper does is it says, no, that is mistreatment. This is what that should be like. This mm-hmm. is healthy. This is communication. These are two people that care about each other. And I think that that was really beautiful. And I think specifically between Charlie and Nick, I don't want to call it tension, but the process of revealing their relationship is something that is really heartwarming. And it's all about consent and understanding each other, because Charlie multiple times says, hey, I'm out. I know that you're not, and I don't want you to do this if you are just doing it to meet me where I am. Like Charlie is very focused on like, you're going through your own path and I really care about you. And I want to walk that path with you, because Nick is showing that he does want to go forward. He just doesn't know how, versus yeah. like homeboy who is like, I'm gonna have a girlfriend and this is just down low stuff and you're terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Awful, awful. And I think like Tao, oh my God.
Oh, love. Tao. I love him. I love so him good. So much.
The beanie.
Best token straight friend ever.
Amazing. But I, you know, when Nick is starting to integrate himself into Charlie's friend group, and, you know, like Tao is having this conversation about Nick being like, I feel so weird because I'm not out yet. I don't really know what my label is yet. I just know that I enjoy spending time. But Charlie, Tao's like, oh, well, I think Charlie just has a tendency to think that like he's a burden to other people. And I think yeah. the message from friend groups, from Charlie's parents, even his sister, Nick's parents, they're all is like, you're not a burden for going through these things. Exactly. And that's just so beautiful. Like, there's nothing more like wonderful than just saying,
exactly.
Like, it's like, you shouldn't be ashamed of your feelings and your identity. Because like, we're here for you and we love you, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, like, we've got you. And it just so
well,
good.
I think that that's like the other thing too, is like all of the friend group plays such an active role in creating a space for there to be conversation, and also to like preemptively try to protect Charlie and each other. Like Tao right off the bat is like, why are you playing rugby? Have you seen you? Like, have you seen these boys? I want to protect yeah. you. And he doesn't have any idea of like, oh, well, he's doing it because stuff's progressing with Nick and mm-hmm. they really like each other. And the fact that Tao is like going the extra mile to be like, well, Charlie is not going to protect himself. I need to be there. And the conflict resolution is, oh, you guys should have just talked. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't yeah. have been assumptions, but like it's still cute. And I don't know, just wonderful. Like, I think that that's the importance of Heartstopper, right? Is showing you what this looks like when it's healthy, and mm-hmm. showing you the types of relationships that you really should be looking for. Because I think that that's one of the hard things, especially when you're growing up. I know I did it, is you find yourself in situations with friends, with romances, and you're just thankful to have them. And so you never really know what it's supposed to look like when it's done, like when mm-hmm. it's done in a caring way. It doesn't mean every friendship is bad. It just means that like, when you lack the experience to notice the red flags, you kind of need a show like Heartstopper to be like, oh no, this is actually what supportive mm-hmm. friends look like. Or, hey, this is the type of response you should experience. And I think that like, it's kind of, it gives like an accepting nature of like, hey, if you're feeling this way, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling this way, look to the people around you who can help take, like, you don't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I mean, and even if you extend it to some of the other characters, right? Because there are, it isn't just one queer relationship, it's multiple.
Yeah.
And you even have like the gay art teacher who is just amazing. And he's like, yeah. Look, you've been in here alone for the past 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to make you go socialize, but I am going to tell you isolating isn't good. And
yeah.
It was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Heartstopper is joy in the way that it's also healing. Like, you kind of see the adults and the friends that, I don't know, you kind of wish you had had in moments where you were exploring. And I think that that's something that is important for the next generation coming up, mm-hmm. to just see.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I really love Tara and Darcy.
Yes.
they have a wonderful dynamic, and they kind of parallel Nick and Charlie in the way that they eventually talk about like their identities and coming out and their relationship. And the exchanges between Tara and Darcy were so, so personal. I remember having my first girlfriend in high school and people like calling me slurs and like waiting to like see us like kiss and hug. Like, and like, it was like really weird and very invasive. And I felt very like unsafe, but no one in the high school I went to, like, no one had like the, I don't know, like, I guess like the strength to like tell me that that's not normal. Yeah. Like that's weird, that it's like, it's just because like my girlfriend, it was older than me by a year, like she'd been out for a while and I was my first girlfriend, and people were like, wait, but like I thought you weren't, and like all of these things that circulate. Yeah. I'm really glad that Heartstopper gives like a toolkit of vocabulary and yeah. and a way to like emotionally decompress all of those stressful things and discuss it and tell you, no, it's okay, because like everyone goes at their own pace. Like I didn't have that. Yeah. Like I didn't get to see that growing up. So to like the fact that like I'm 25 and I'm like, and I'm hearing these like teenagers say these things and have these like friends and parents and adults in their life say like, you're good. Like, it's fine. I'm like, wow, I didn't know I needed to hear that. It feels like, it feels like a hug. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. And I think that that's the special thing that like stories like this do. And I think that that's the thing that, so I read a lot of BL, I read a lot of queer manga. And one of the things that like, I hear people talk about it a lot is like, oh, well, if you do these stories, people who aren't queer are going to watch them and they're going to fetishize. I was like, no, like it's about normalizing. It's about, there are so many straight couples in all of these romances with all of these tropes, but there's like, there, you have to normalize this, normalize like just love, like love regardless of gender, love regardless of orientation, and mm-hmm. showcase that it is normal and healthy, and this is how you can build healthy relationships with others. And I think that that's like one of the really important things that like I'm seeing. And obviously like there have been quite a bit like I like queer as folk, the L word, like stuff like that that is focused on like our age demographic. I'm 30. Like it's focused on the older folks, it's focused on that type of thing, but there isn't a lot for teens. Like there isn't a lot for teens to go to and be like, oh yeah, there's this, but there's like endless young adult straight romances.
there's so much 15 year old me L word Shane kiss scenes, like yep. I was there. I lived that. That was my youth, you know.
But I think that it was like
so hard
here. Yeah, yeah.
And it was so
beauty here.
Oh no, you go.
Sorry. No, go ahead. No. That's yeah.
It was so hard to just like exist and figure out, what am I? What yeah. am I doing? Like, what's going on? I'm so confused. And like yeah. Heartstopper takes that confusion and says, it doesn't matter that you're confused, because like you are going to grow into yourself. And yeah. I think growth is like another thing that's like really great in the show, where like everyone's character arcs, like from Elle, who is a trans girl who like transfers to an all-girls school, like I yeah. love that rep. I love how she's presented in her friend group and her like solidarity with like
yeah
anyone else. It's just, it feels like they care about queer youth and they want queer youth to be normalized, like you said.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
And I think that it's also important, especially when we're at a time where, like, just not being straight is literally being outlawed in schools. Like, there's so much happening, and I'm in Texas, you're in Florida. Like,
I'm in Florida.
There's so much that is telling kids that they can't just exist as who they are, or that they're less than for existing as who they are. And I mean, Heartstopper isn't going to change any laws, but it is going to make people feel like, okay, this is okay. Like, it is literally okay to be who I am, and it is okay to speak about it, and it is okay to be with people who protect me when that happens. And I think that that is something that has, this show was always going to be important. Mm-hmm. I just think it's even more important now, because yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, like, I've, being queer when I was growing up in middle school or high school was like that. It was hard. It was a thing, like, seeing people around me and a lot of my friend group, and just like watching what people went through. And I think that that's changed, but now they're trying to take it back. And mm-hmm. I think, or like, and by take it back, I mean, take it back in time and make it, you know, like you said, put the shame there, put the othering there. And I think that something like Heartstopper is really important, because you're right, Glee had a lot of shame. Like, a lot. Like, nobody was just like, oh, I'm happy to exist and this is just who I am. Like, there was a lot. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm feeling like repeating myself, but I'm just very moved that kids can watch this now and feel even the least bit like it's okay to be that way and talk. And there was that scene with when they're watching Pirates of the Caribbean.
And
Nick's mom is like, I know you were watching this because you loved Keira Knightley. And then he's watching it, and you see his face react to Keira Knightley. And then you see his face react to Orlando Bloom. And it's like that light bulb goes off. And it's like, oh, that's why I loved this movie. And it was the most beautiful and relatable thing to see done, because he visualized everybody's tweet, like, my bisexual awakening was The Mummy, or was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. I also love, like, the integration of pop culture that I don't remember the graphic novels, me picking up so much on it. And I'm sure there is, because there are, like, I remember, like, comic stills of, like, them listening to, like, music together, and, like, I remember some film posters. But, like, I love that, like, Elle and Tao, like, hang out and they, like, talk about, like, Donnie Darko and, like,
yes,
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and, like, in Nick's room he's got his, like, puppy and stuff like that, because he's, like, an athletic boy. But then in Charlie's room with his drums, it's like the Strokes and Daft Punks and it's just like, whoa. Like, I love that the normalization of, like, queer kids, but also the they're more than their identities. They're fully fleshed people. They're not just, like, token, like, gay or trans or lesbian characters. They are them, and this is their life. And I think that's, like, what's so important, is that it's like, this is their friendships, their loves, their awakenings, and we get to see it presented and unfolded upon us as if, like, they're our friends.
Yeah. No, I think you're completely right. My favorite line too was where Tao says something like, having to watch the Avengers movies or something, and Elle is like, so that's your idea of a nightmare?
Yeah.
Oh, it's when Charlie's talking about inviting Nick with them, and he's like, oh, he's gonna make me watch superhero movies.
I
was like, that is such a very specific diss that I think tells us so much about Tao. Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And also, I mean, I was, apart from, like, the warm and fuzzy feelings, I think that the showcasing of, like, when things are toxic and bad and red flaggy, you're also presented with, like, a lot of care.
Yeah. No, you're completely right.
My heart hurt, like, the first couple of episodes, like, for Charlie so bad. And I don't really want to, like, discuss a lot of like how that plays out, because I think when people watch it, they're gonna be very moved, like, you know, both you and I have been saying. But I don't think I've ever so clearly seen something be like, this is when someone is using you and not because they're respecting you. And respect and consent are two things like you like deserve from another person. Yeah. And I really love that it takes the time to very clearly be like, no, full stop, this person doesn't respect you.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And like you said, that's going to give kids the vocabulary to talk about situations, to talk about relationships, to talk about crushes and friends. And that's amazing. So to wrap up, I do want to say, give the people watching or listening three reasons why you think they should watch Heartstopper.
Okay. There's so many reasons to sum it up in three. It's just a damn good show. It's just good. And you'll watch it and you'll see. It's good. Second reason. The themes and messagings are incredibly important. Like Kate said, she lives in Texas. I live in Florida. I am seeing firsthand what it's like to have like queer youth be stripped of like their rights because of their identities and orientations. And if anything can like help normalize like queer people, it's something like Heartstopper. Like, you should watch it, because like that's what it does. And the necessity for the vocabulary for queer youth to be safe and protected and nurtured, like that's also what the show is. So those are my three reasons. You go.
I would say the animation integration is phenomenal. That's like number one. Like, I have,
it's so cute.
Like, web comics and webtoons and anything visual that you're reading gives you the ability to look into a person's head that film doesn't necessarily do without excessive narration. Heartstopper finds a beautiful balance of inputting like cutesy animation or like darker animation, like to kind of set the scene and bring you into who these characters are and into how they're feeling about their relationships with other people, that I think is so expertly done that just deserves a call out. Watch it no matter what age you are. That's like, you can watch it no matter what age you are. I think that people who are in our age bracket will get a lot from it, as much as teens will, whether it is just understanding how to relate to the youth around you. Oh God, I am the age where people have children. or relate to them, because I think that there's a lot of, it shows you healthy relationships. And if you are in a position where you're teaching children, if you're in a position where you have youth that respond to you, or if you just want a nice heartfelt story of love and like discovering yourself, like if coming of age is your jam, this is your jam. And then I would say the characters, like the characters as much as the romance. Like you said, Sonia, every single one of these characters is dynamic and complex and fully fleshed out to be more than just their identity and to be more than even just their relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that is really beautiful and hard to balance in a show about romance. Yeah, those are mine. So if you are listening to this, you are watching this, Heartstopper hits Netflix on April 22nd. We really think you should watch it. We had a great time watching it. Sonia, tell people where they can find you.
I'm everywhere by my first name. So it's at CIDNYA, action A, everywhere on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me.
And then you can find me at Oh My Mythrandir on Twitter, where I'm most active. Or if you want to get in on the Weeby stuff, head over to my Instagram, which is also Oh My Mythrandir. And you can find all of our work at But Why Though PC on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere on social, and butwhythoughpodcast.com, where you can read Sonia's full review of the series. We're also going to link it in the show notes here. But yeah, we hope you all love Heartstopper. If you do, at us, tell us about its awesomeness. We definitely want to hear.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank y'all for tuning in to our very first But Why Though Reviews. I don't even know what it's going to be called because this is our first time doing it, but I'm going to run with But Why Though Reviews.
Sounds like a good one. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.